In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy and innocent Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce unto you the grace of God, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
poured into our hearts the true light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light may shine forth in our lives. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Old Testament reading for this second Sunday of Christmas is from 1 Kings chapter 3. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. So God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" This speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
To us a child is born. To us a son is given.
And the government shall be upon his shoulders.
And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God.
Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Sing to the Lord a new song.
For he has done marvelous things.
Today's epistle is from Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the Alleluia. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
This morning's message is based upon our gospel reading from Luke 2. I read again from the 51st verse. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. This is our text. Dear fellow redeemed, if you're a parent, you have fantasized about it, the perfect child. He never talks back, always shows you complete respect. He's obedient. Not only does he do what you ask, but he does so promptly. He's responsible. Should he make a mistake, he learns from it the first time. He's loving, being pleasant in his words and affectionate in his actions. And finally, he's principled. He believes what you've taught him and does what you say rather than what you do. Well, needless to say, Jesus was the perfect child. Not once did he give his parents grief. Not once did he give his heavenly Father grief. From Isaiah, he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. So you might think that by the age of 12, that Jesus would have convinced Mary and Joseph that he was the perfect child. He'd never done anything against their will. Returning from Nazareth with his parents, our reading says that he was submissive to them. That means always. He really was the perfect child, hands down. But then, after the Passover celebration, Jesus and his parents got separated. Jesus had stayed behind in Jerusalem, but Mary and Joseph did not pick up on it. So whose fault was it? Jesus' fault? Mary and Joseph may have thought so. Son, why have you treated us so? Mary asked. Your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. But if we're to take sides here, we might argue that it was Mary and Joseph that fell short of being the perfect parents. They knew what role Jesus would play. They heard it from the angel. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. They also knew that since Jesus was 12 years old, he had been instructed in Jewish law, and therefore he was ready to be declared a son of the law. This would take place during a special festival in the temple. Something like Confirmation Day, Jesus would be made responsible for religious matters. And yet, knowing what they did, Mary and Joseph would search and search for Jesus. Even though they knew where the temple was, where Jesus would learn about religion, and this is where they last had seen him, it's the last place they looked. Who lost contact with whom? It's what we might ask this morning. You see, in many ways, we're no different than Mary and Joseph. Although we have the best intentions, we lose touch with our Lord. Maybe we're overwhelmed by that recent illness in the family. Our loved one is hospitalized and unable to get out and about, and so we're picking up the slack. Or we're preoccupied with a new job, a new friendship, a new pastime. We've done our best to cover the bases and keep on top of our life, but we soon discover that we're not keeping up with many of our duties. In fact, we're not handling things very well at all. And we can't help wondering whether the Lord has forgotten about us. Why don't I sense that he's helping me? Where's he gone? Sometimes we lose touch with our Lord, but we don't know it really, because like Mary and Joseph, we suspect that he's somewhere else than where he's promised he'd be. When Jesus' parents lost touch with their son, I suspect it's because they were used to communicating with Jesus, but they weren't used to letting Jesus communicate with them. After all this planning that went into traveling to Jerusalem, Mary and Joseph probably have very little to say about the trip back. They didn't think it was necessary. He was the perfect child, and he could never be the source of worry or grief. And they surely didn't expect that Jesus would have something to say to him when they finally found him in the temple. What is it that psychologists tell us? It's important to listen to your children. It's also a slogan our kids sometimes like to use against us when they're not where we expect them to be. It's not that they've ignored our explicit instructions. No. If you only listen to me, you'd understand me, or you would hear my side of things. Presumably, we lack an understanding of the younger generation. We don't understand how the world has changed for the better. And we don't understand how many stresses have piled up on them. Of course, we'd like to turn the tables on them and say, "You're right, I don't understand you, for you don't listen to me. You used to be so much more respectful, more obedient, more loving, more principled. You used to treat me like I was the parent and you were the child." I'm not sure that Mary and Joseph ever spoke to Jesus this way, but there were definitely times when they didn't understand him. That's when they finally found him in the temple. When they asked him, "Son, why have you treated us so?" Jesus answered, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And we're told that they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. They didn't understand because they didn't understand the significance of Jesus being God, the Father's Son. Nor did they understand why this trip to Jerusalem was so significant. Now, they understood the logistics. This celebration, known as the Feast of the Passover, involved the liturgical slaying of the lamb at the temple. This was to remember the lamb slain by the first Passover. The angel of death had killed the firstborn Egyptians, but passed over the firstborn Israelites as they had smeared the blood of the lamb on their doors. Mary and Joseph understood this much, but now the Lamb of God was coming to Jerusalem. When Jesus told his parents, "I must be in my Father's house," Mary and Joseph should have understood this. Jesus was God's Son who had come to redeem the world. So he had to be in the temple where he would learn of this mission of his. But rather than remembering the words of the angel that they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, it's like their understanding of Jesus' mission suddenly evaporated because Jesus had fouled up their plans. And sometimes we react the same way. We understand why the Lord became a human being. We understand his business. We learned it well in Sunday school and catechism class. Christ became one of us to take our place on the cross and to pay for our sins. But then our life shifts suddenly and severely. And we wonder why. What's going on, Jesus? It's like everything we've understood about our Lord suddenly dissolves in the face of our latest fears, almost as though we lose our understanding, since all we can think about is how our life's plans have gotten messed up. I must be in my Father's house. Before we can see Jesus properly in our lives, we must see him in his word, where he tells us about his Father's business. Our reading tells us that Jesus was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions, and all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. I suspect he was doing more listening than speaking, and doing more learning than teaching. Little by little, he was putting together the final pieces of his identity, just who he was. Through his learning, Jesus was determining more specifically God's plans for him. His mission as the Son of God was not to fix this world or create heaven on earth. He came to seek and to save what was lost. And like other callings in life, Jesus' calling began in the home. Or does it seem a bit odd when Jesus returns home with his parents that he was submissive to them? Would it not be more appropriate for them to be submissive to him? Why the role reversal? It was becoming official after all. Jesus was the Son of God. Yes, but he was also the Son of Man who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to live a perfect life for us, and this would begin in the home where he was perfectly obedient to his parents. As Paul writes, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. To be perfect for us, that is, the Lord places himself under the law intended for us sinners. Prior to the fall, this had not been necessary. Adam and Eve had delighted in God's law and would never consider straying from it. They were God's perfect children with no need of God reversing the roles for them. But then they gave in to Satan's temptation. Falling into sin, they were no longer capable of being God's perfect children. So God sent forth his Son to be perfect in our place. The law that the sinner must keep for God is the law that the Lord Jesus would keep for the sinner. Why the role reversal? So that every one of us might be God's perfect child. And to make it so, the Lord would not only live for us, but he'd die for us. Not only was he obedient to his parents, returning with them from Jerusalem, he was obedient to his Heavenly Father, traveling back to Jerusalem to be punished for our sin. It was all about God's grace. In him we have redemption through his blood, Paul declares. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. By his grace, Jesus took our place in life and in death. He was perfect. Perfect for us. So that through his blood, we might appear perfect before God. You know, it is an important question to ask. Should we ever get separated from that little one? Where would he go? Or maybe the question isn't so important these days, as kids seem to have that smartphone. It doesn't matter where you are. Junior, as long as you can communicate with me, just call me or text me. I don't care, just so I know that you're somewhere. What an incredible invention, people may think. One that every child should have. Or you could argue that it's the most dreadful invention because it's no longer necessary to know where your child is. He or she could be that not-so-perfect child, and you'll never know. Do you know where Jesus is? Because he is the perfect child. And there's no fantasizing here. In fact, you may find him in his Father's house right now, right here, in his word and sacraments. Neither is there any disappointment here. There's no losing touch, no reason for worry. There's not even the need to present your side of things. There's only God's grace and forgiveness. Yes, you may find the perfect child right here. He's obedient, he's responsible, he's loving and principled and forgiving. Jesus is all these things for you, perfect in every way, so that through him, God may see you as his perfect child. Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Thank you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, we give thanks that your Son, the eternal Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Extend his praise into all the world, that many more with us would come to hope in his steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, your Son diligently heard the word of God and grew in wisdom and stature, submissive to his earthly parents, and always about your business and in your house. Keep the families of your church abiding in your word, eager to be found among your word and sacraments, and always trusting your divine wisdom and favor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you have blessed us in Christ, your beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Preserve your church by the preaching of the gospel of salvation and the seal of the promised Holy Spirit in baptism. Raise up among us faithful preachers to the praise of Christ's glory until we acquire the inheritance promised us in him. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, you gave to your servant Solomon unsurpassed wisdom to rule your people Israel, chiefly the wisdom that begins in fearing you. Give to the leaders and elected officials of our nations wisdom for their task to discern between good and evil and to govern this people in peace and quietness. Be gracious to preserve our president and president-elect, our governor, and all legislatures and judges. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of God, of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism, we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Phyllis, Mark, Clay, Joshua, and Steve, continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joy of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, give patience and endurance to all who are sick or in need, especially Steve, Kathy, Emma, Bob, Jackie, Barb, Jerry, Patty, Kristen, Julie, Marge, Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Mike, Jenna, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Larry, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Lydia, Gordon, Deb, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tony, the Langton family, the Leslie family, Grace, Belinda, and Talitha, and heal them according to your will. Receive our thanksgiving for every blessing and kindness you have shown to your people. Give comfort and hope to all who mourn. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, your Son has won redemption through his blood, granting the forgiveness of our trespasses. So now, according to the riches of your grace, receive those who come to your blessed sacrament this day. Grant worthy repentance and confident faith to all who commune, united in a sincere confession of the faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is fit and right, so to do.
For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast given us a new revelation of thy glory, that seeing thee in the person of thy Son, we may be drawn to the love of those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat the body of Christ, given unto death for your sins.
Take a drink. The true blood of our Savior Jesus, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Take a drink. The blood of our Savior Jesus, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Blood of the Lord Jesus, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. And now may this true body and this true blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and in life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Amen. body Christ, given unto death for your sins. The body of Christ, given unto death for your sins.
This is the true blood.
The body of Christ, given unto death for your sins.
Oh.
fountain, source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Bible study, Sister Fulker, and then on Wednesday, evening. We should be starting off with the Bible study again. Also Ladies' Aid on Thursday. And then we also have the new envelopes for 2026. We haven't gotten our new mailbox. The Zion folks picked them up. I want to say thank you to Pastor Bryce and his wife Julie for being up here and providing worship services for us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other announcements?
55 is tentatively set for January 17th.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock? 2 o'clock. And if you'd like to donate any trees, you can write on the Common Houses. That's where the 55 is too, at Common House Theater. You can write that tree to the warehouse or the parking lot.
Gail?
A short card practice for adults and children right at sometime after service, and then Wednesday night at 6:30 before Bible study.